Our second case this morning is 2237 Trend Micro Inc. versus Cup Computing. And here we start with Mr. Panikowski.
Good morning, Your Honors. Stanley Panikowski for Appellant Trend Micro. The Board's decision should be vacated under either the express claim construction that the Board correctly adopted or the implicit construction that the Board incorrectly applied. Either way, no substantial evidence supports the Board's conclusion that the prior art reference SICDAR does not meet the dynamically isolating limitation.
So I can be clear here. As I understand it, there are further limitations with respect to Claim 7 of the 272, which would have to be addressed by the Board on remand, correct?
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct.
But what about with respect to Claim 16 of the 272 and Claim 7 of the 079? Is there anything left for the Board to do if we agree with you?
Your Honor, on Claim 7 of the 079 patent, there are also limitations and arguments that CUP has made that the Board would need to address on a remand. With respect to Claim 16 of the 272 patent, there's a lot less there. There's not as much. But because the Board... Your Honor, Trend Micro's position would be ultimately that there is nothing. With Claim 16 of the 272 patent, you're not dealing with the reference.
Are there unresolved disputes about claim elements other than this one?
Your Honor, not that I can identify with respect to Claim 16 of the 272 patent. The Board didn't go through the analysis in terms of what you would get when you're combining SICDAR with the admitted prior art that is relied on for Claim 16. So even though on remand, Trend Micro's position would be that we already have all of the pieces in place from the Board's decision on Claim 1, as well as the prior art disclosures, and therefore it would be a fairly ministerial task for the Board to find Claim 16 unpatentable. In this court, Trend Micro hasn't asked for an outright reversal on that claim, simply to err on the conservative side in light of this Board's Kaken decision, which presumptively will remand to the Board when the Board hasn't necessarily put all of the pieces together once the error is corrected.
So just to be clear, for the three claims at issue, you're not asking us to reverse on any of them?
Correct, Your Honor. What Trend Micro seeks is for this Board, this court, to tell the Board that it got the dynamically isolating analysis wrong, and that SICDAR does, in fact, disclose the dynamically isolating limitation. No substantial evidence supports a contrary conclusion. And then to remand to the Board in order to, one, address the additional limitations of Claim 7 of both patents, as well as to put the pieces together under Claim 16 of the 272 patent.
On your view, would we be asking the Board to do anything further on dynamically isolating, or you want us to shut that part down in your favor?
Correct, Your Honor. It is the latter. The record here is such that this court can put an end to the dispute on dynamically isolating. At a minimum, this court, after correcting the Board's implicit construction and saying, no, your express construction, which CUP now does not dispute, is correct. At the very least, this court would remand to the Board in order to apply the correct construction. But Trend Micro's position is that that step is not necessary on the dynamically isolating limitation because we have a sufficient record here where no substantial evidence would support any conclusion that SICDAR does not disclose both elements of the express construction. We have the first element of the express construction, which is DHCP or other source of addresses. And based on the plain language of that construction, any source of addresses would satisfy it. It may be an odd syntactical phrase for the board to use, but logically, any source must be either DHCP or other source of addresses. In the same way...
And just to be clear, if that language appeared in claim language, we might well think, oh, there must be something about the choice to use a or anything else, so that it might suggest that a or anything else phrase is different from any source. But we're not interpreting claim language, we're interpreting more casual set of words that the board used in construing the claim language, which logically is identical to any source.
Yes, that is correct, Your Honor. Had that language appeared in the claim, there it would still on its face mean any source, but there might be a reason for this court to then look through the specification, look through the prosecution history to, as Your Honor said, see if the intrinsic evidence ascribes any significance to that particular choice of phrasing. But here we don't have that. It was simply a construction that the board adopted in the course of looking at the petition and then CUP's preliminary response. Neither party asked for a construction of this term, but the board perceived that CUP was relying on the dynamically isolating limitation to try to distinguish SICDAR. The board discerned that CUP was asking the board to limit dynamically isolating to DHCP, which CUP later broadened after the institution decision to dynamic addressing protocol.
And in the specification, is there any discussion of a source of addresses other than DHCP?
Not specifically, Your Honor. When the patent...
What work did your use of the word specifically do in your answer?
Your Honor,
not specifically.
Right. That... The patent does not expressly identify any source of addresses other than DHCP. It gives DHCP as an exemplary source of addresses in discussing Figure 19, and the discussion of Figure 19 is prefaced.
Well, it doesn't say DHCP has to be used. It says may be used. Right.
That is correct, Your Honor. What Figure 19 is one embodiment of the invention, and so the discussion in Column 19 of the 272 patent prefaces this discussion of Figure 19 by saying, in an embodiment. And then when we get down to the specific specification passage that the board focused on, that's at Column 19, lines 54 to 65, the specification is saying that the NAT engine uses DHCP in performing this translation process. And as the board correctly construed the claims, then dynamic isolation is the result of that translation process. It did not say, the specification did not say that DHCP must be used, that it's the only thing that the NAT can use. It didn't say that it is the present invention. It didn't even refer to that discussion as a preferred embodiment. That is simply in an embodiment. And moreover, Your Honors, at this point, at page 18 of its response brief...
Yes, that, in the sense that both parties have agreed to the board's claim construction, which said DHCP or other source of addresses.
Yes, Your Honor, that is correct. At page 18 of its response brief, CUP expressly agreed to the board's construction that it had previously contested. Therefore, we are in fact past that point, even though in our opening brief, Trend Micro showed that the board's express construction was correct, not knowing at that point if CUP was going to continue to contest that construction.
Can we talk about SICDAR?
Yes, Your Honor.
The board found that it did not disclose what the other source of addresses was, and that your expert was merely conclusory on that point, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So, first of all, don't we have to accept that, at least if there's substantial evidence for those findings? And if so, does that mean that we should affirm what the board did?
No, Your Honor, it doesn't mean any of that. First of all, the board's expressed claim construction requires only that there be a source of the IP addresses. The board's claim construction does not say that you need to identify the source. It's not as if this claim has some limitation in there that says, and then the processor writes down what the source of the IP address is.
And from what you were just saying to us, I understand, but help me if I'm wrong, the patent that's being challenged also doesn't disclose specifically what the other source of addresses is. Is that right?
That is correct, Your Honor. Okay. And therefore, the board's assertion that Dr. Jacobson's testimony is entitled to no deference because it's conclusory, it is not the type of finding to which this court defers under the substantial evidence standard for several reasons. One, this is not a situation where you even need expert testimony to discern that the construction is met. If the construction here were the sun or other object in the solar system, I wouldn't need an astronomer to tell me that any object in the solar system would meet that definition, nor that this lectern would meet that definition. Likewise here, you didn't even need an expert to say what SICDAR explicitly discloses. And therefore, this is like this court's decision in Samsung versus UUSI, cited at page 29 of our opening brief, where the board tried to label what was really an implicit claim construction issue like this one as one related to the, quote, credibility of expert testimony. Here you don't even need it. And then when you focus on the expert testimony, that testimony is not conclusory. It is concise. You don't need very many words to explain that any address source will meet the now agreed upon construction, DHCP, or other source of addresses. Unless your honors have any further questions at this point, I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal, please.
Okay. Let's see, Mr. Hamm.
Thank you again, Your Honors. May it please the court. May I proceed?
Yes.
Thank you. So, Your Honors, unlike the appeal that I just argued, this appeal deals with the claim construction that is agreed to by all the parties at this stage of the case. All the parties agreed to what the term dynamically isolating means.
So it doesn't have to be DCHP.
It can be DCHP, or it has to be an other source of addresses. Has to be something similar to DHCP that has source addresses.
Yeah. Has to be somewhat something similar. Where does it say that?
Well, no. Well, the way that it's written is DHCP or other source of addresses. DHCP is a source of addresses, so it has to be another source of addresses. That's what I was meaning, Your Honor, when I said that. And the only dispute here is a factual dispute in terms of what SICDAR discloses. The board specifically found that SICDAR discloses static NAT, which is network address translation.
Well, it found that it discloses a single address, which is the firewall, and then it has this quite odd footnote on A35 in which it says the one-to-one mapping is irrelevant as disclosed in SICDAR. What in heaven's name do they mean by that?
What they mean by that, Your Honor, is that it's static address translation, static network address translation.
It's not a single address.
Well, when it says one-to-one mapping, that means it's a predetermined static address.
You're not answering my question.
I'm sorry.
It is not. SICDAR does not have a single firewall address. It shows an alternative embodiment where that's not the case, right?
I don't agree. I think that the only disclosure...
No, what's the one-to-one mapping?
It's
embodiment.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding the question, because SICDAR only discloses static address mapping.
No, but you're not dealing with the same issue that I'm dealing
okay.
with. Okay. The board said that SICDAR discloses only a single address, which is the firewall. That is incorrect, correct? They're wrong about that.
I don't think that they're wrong about that.
Really?
Then what is the one-to-one embodiment? How is it different than the main embodiment in SICDAR?
So the one-to-one mapping is a predetermined static address that's assigned by the firewall. And it is, it's a predetermined address, and it can map to a single predetermined address that's behind the firewall.
Doesn't SICKDAR sometimes give every private address the same single address, but sometimes it doesn't. It will give a different public address, you know, translated for each individual private address.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, so yes, the main embodiment that was focused on by the board in Trend is that you have multiple private addresses that come through the firewall and a single static address that goes through.
The board was wrong in saying that SICKDAR discloses only a single address corresponding to the firewall.
I can't say that. No, that's, there is only a single address corresponding to the firewall.
Right. But sometimes if you have two different private addresses, you may end up in SICKDAR with two different public addresses, correct?
If you have two, okay, so on the one-to-one mapping, if you have a private address, it can go to a static address that's public, that's not the firewall's address. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, and then if I have a second private address, I could get a second public address in SICKDAR, not the same as the first public address, correct?
If you don't follow the one-to-one mapping, you're going to get the firewall's address.
Correct. If I don't, but if I follow the one-to-one mapping, I will get a different address than I got the first time around, right?
It will be, yes, two different addresses that come through, but they're
okay,
both
static. So how could the board tell us that that's irrelevant?
Because they're both static. It's a, and here's a definition from the board on APPX 2.1, is that static address translation is in which private addresses are statically mapped to specific fixed public addresses. That's the definition of a static address mapping. It's not on the fly, as it, when and as needed, and on the fly as it comes through. That's why the board said it's irrelevant.
Maybe so, but that's not consistent with its claim construction and rejection of your construction, which is set forth on the 21 and 22 of the board's decision.
That maybe I'm not following you, Your Honor. It is a static one-to-one mapping is completely different than a dynamic mapping. A dynamic mapping means that application address comes through, you're going to, on the fly, select an address.
Why on the fly select as opposed to on the fly swap?
Oh, okay, that's fine. So on the fly, you're going
to... I think the following is part of the same conversation we're having, but if not, anyway, I thought that part of what confused me about the board was that it was using static versus dynamic in two quite different senses. The sense of dynamic that it adopted has to do with when the swapping occurs, when and as needed. It doesn't have to do with the one-to-one or one-to-many or many-to-one correspondence between the thing being entering and the thing that is exiting. And it was using, I thought, static some of the time, as I think you are, to refer to invariable as opposed to a notion that has to do with when the swap occurs.
So I think that the way that the board was describing static versus dynamic is at a high level saying SICKDAR is static network address translation, whereas in the patented issue is dynamic network address translation. And the difference is if you have a specific mapping, a predetermined address, before anything comes into the firewall, if I have something specific that's set forth for that address, that's static. That's not changing. A dynamic isolating, by dynamically isolating something that's coming in, or a packet that's coming in, an application from a packet that's coming in, on the fly, you're applying an address to that application so that it's not static.
But you may have a preset list of addresses that you're going to apply in the translation. Why isn't the determination as to whether it's dynamic or static just when do you apply the translation as opposed to when you figured out what the translation might be. Aren't those two different things, and isn't the patent really about when you apply the translation?
No, the patent is about obtaining those addresses and applying those on the fly.
So to be dynamic, you have to do both on the fly, when and as needed.
Correct, when and as needed. You have to have a source.
Is you agreed to the board's claim construction. I mean, maybe you can argue that the claim construction is wrong, but you didn't. You agreed to it, and in your brief on appeal, you agreed to it.
And that
includes the rejection of your position in connection with the claim construction. So you're asking us to do something that you gave up.
We know, but the board actually, if you look at its analysis, specifically said that their construction complied with our position. They actually said that there's no need to put in those limitations because they thought that it was encompassed in theirs, and that's why they end up reasoning with us after the institution
decision.
Okay,
but the argument is they're wrong about that, that the original construction governs here and is inconsistent with your position.
I don't see how it's inconsistent with our position based on the reasoning of the board, because the reasoning of the board, when they went through their construction, said that it has a source of addresses. If you have a source of addresses, that means you have a bank of addresses that are going to be applied, and that's going to be dynamically assigned as soon as it comes through the firewall. And if you're reading, when you say DHCP or other source of addresses, that to one of skill in the art says that I'm looking at DHCP, which is a specific protocol that has a bank of addresses or another source of addresses. You can have another source of addresses that's going to be applied. But it can't be static. It can't be a one-to-one.
Why?
Because that's where the word dynamic comes in. That's the difference between a static network address translation and a dynamic.
Dynamic means when is it as needed. It doesn't mean that you have to use DCHP. In fact, the board specifically rejected that.
But Your Honor, if you when and as needed doesn't mean that you have that address already existing that's mapped to an address in behind the firewall. You have to use an address when and as needed. It's not going to be known before. And that's exactly why I pointed to the board definition of static.
I think we're just coming back to the same thing. I mean, the way that I tried to ask you the question is that dynamic, when it means when and as needed, which you agreed to, is only about the time at which the swap is made. It is nothing about how many, about the variability of what you swap in for the private addresses. And you keep switching back and forth, as I think the board did.
Well, I'm not trying to switch back and forth, John. What I'm trying to say is when you say when and as needed, that means you're applying an address when and as needed, right?
And as far as the words when and as needed mean, I don't see why you can't have a single public address that you swap in on the origination address in the header of every single outgoing message.
Okay, because it's not done when and as needed. You're not.
When the message is leaving.
It's predetermined. That address is predetermined.
But the application and the use of the address is done on the fly when and as needed.
The application, Your Honor?
Yeah, you've used the phrase application, use. Those things are happening when and as needed, even if we all know ahead of time what the single address, public address, is going to be. And isn't that all that the claim limitation requires?
No, then there's no difference between static and dynamic. If you have static network address translation, and we've all agreed here that this is just talking about dynamic network address translation.
Except that the word dynamic, in general, can have either of these two different meanings. It can mean changing the way, you know, the ISPs dynamically assign us IP addresses. In the old days, we all had one, but you can't do that anymore. And they can be different, or it could mean the time at which something happens.
Well, Your Honor, I respectfully, it's the first one, because you're referring to DHCP, dynamically assigning those addresses. That's what DHCP stands for. And when
don't need DCHP. And the board specifically says that dynamically modifies isolating, not address protocol.
Correct. But, Your Honor, if you read it in context, you have DHCP or other source of addresses. And then you have to do this.
It doesn't say other similar source of addresses.
No, it says another source of addresses. It has to be a bank of addresses that
so
you can choose from.
So why isn't a static source another source of addresses?
Because there's only one address there.
No, there's several in the one-on-one mapping.
No, there's only one in the one-on-one mapping.
I thought we went over this, and you said you could end up with two different public addresses in the one-to-one embodiment of SICDAR.
But you're only going to have one for any application that comes through, so it's still static. I mean, that's the difference between the static and the dynamic. I mean, in any case, Your Honor, this turns on the fact that they didn't have evidence in SICDAR to point to the source of addresses.
So why is that even relevant? Where does the claim construction require them to identify what that other source of addresses is?
Because that's what the claim says, or other source of addresses, and their expert failed to do so.
Well, their expert says there is one. The addresses are there, but it's not DHCP, so there must be some other source of addresses. Why is that not sufficient?
Because the board specifically said that another source of addresses can't be a static assignment of an address. It can't be the firewall's address. That's static. That's a factual finding by the board saying that this is a static embodiment.
SICDAR does not just disclose a single firewall address.
Well,
you agreed to that earlier.
In the one-to-one mapping,
you agreed to it, and then you keep not agreeing to it.
Well, because, Your Honor, that's still a static. And by the way, that wasn't below. They argued that for a separate limitation, for a separate argument that had no bearing. That's not even in the record in terms of meeting these limitations.
It seems to me, though, you're maybe implicitly agreeing to their implicit construction argument. The construction expressly does not require that the other source of addresses be a dynamic source of addresses. So are you agreeing that the board at least narrowed its own construction to say it's an other dynamic source of addresses?
I don't think the board narrowed it, and I think that the board specifically found that there's no source of address. But by the way, there's a second ground, which is the when and on the fly, which the board said that the petitioner had not met.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hanna. Mr. Panikowski.
Your Honors, I would like to address just one factual point about the record. CUP's counsel said that Trend Micro's expert, Dr. Jacobson, did not identify a source of addresses in SICDAR, setting aside the fact that the board's express construction did not require identification of the particular source. Dr. Jacobson nonetheless did identify a source of addresses in SICDAR, and that is the SPU. We don't even need his expert testimony for that. Appendix page 838, SICDAR specifically says that the SPU 200 in operation 1104 generates the public IP address. And we see in figure 20, which that passage is describing at appendix page 935, that again it says that the SPU generates the public IP address. Therefore, even if identification of a source were required, Dr. Jacobson and SICDAR itself identifies the SPU as a source of the public IP address or public IP addresses. Unless your honors have any further questions, Trend Micro asked this court to vacate the board's decision and remand for completion of the obvious analysis.
Is the SPU then in SICDAR, is it a dynamic or a static source of addresses?
Your Honor, it doesn't say one way or the other. This alternative one-to-one mapping embodiment, CUP's counsel said that is an embodiment that shows static mapping, but SICDAR doesn't say that. It says that it's one-to-one mapping where...
Under the express construction, would it satisfy that construction if it's static or if it's dynamic? Does it matter?
No, Your Honor, it doesn't matter. Whether the address allocation is static or dynamic, is irrelevant to the construction, and the board itself said so at appendix page 22 when the board said dynamically modifies isolating, not address protocol, which term does not appear in the claims, and patent owner's construction fails because it would rewrite the claims and specification to substitute use of a dynamic address protocol for dynamically isolating. So regardless of whether the addresses are allocated statically or dynamically or in any other conceivable fashion is not relevant. Only the isolating needs to be dynamic. And the isolation, as the board said, occurs when you're translating the IP addresses. So it's the swapping out of the private IP address for the public IP address that needs to happen on the fly, not the selection. Thank you, Your Honors.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Francis. Thank all counsel. The case is submitted.